All right, there are many topics worthy of discussion that we've got in the hopper today. One, of course, is the weather that's just kind of blown through and left some detritus in his wake. Toronto Hydro announcing that as a result of the heavy rain and high winds, there are approximately 10,000 customers without power in scattered pockets across the city. Currently assessing the damage, we'll provide more updates as they become available. And I'll pass that along to you. Otherwise, other topics worthy of discussion, that's our panel confab. We get together at this time every weekday afternoon here on the Oakley Show. And joining us in studio this midweek Wednesday, Tom Parkin, post-media national politics columnist with a bluntly social democratic point of view. Tom, good afternoon.
Howdy. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
How's the weather impacted you? Did you notice anything?
Maybe a little slicker on the gardener as it came down, but it was the timing was the same.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
all right.
No issue there.
No issue. Good to hear.
Yes.
Anthony Fury is Sun Post Media columnist and national comment editor. Anthony, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great, John. I was watching from the balcony window, and I saw other balcony furniture go flying.
Could have
been a and I heard a couple. I heard a couple sirens. So, I hope everyone's okay.
There was nobody on the furniture, though, right?
No.
No. We don't like seeing that.
Not this time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, with a hot air balloon, I mean, it could be a stunt. But we will keep people posted as the situation warrants. Now, I've got to ask, we had in the last hour Mike Van Solen, who's joined us periodically as a panelist. He's with Navigator, one of the principals. And we were talking about the postmortem on the election just completed, that the folks at Navigator, where they sent people across the province, eight different focus groups, to look at why people voted as they did. And they found, in a nutshell, that people voted for wallet issues, to keep more green in their jeans, like that 10 cent per liter discount on gas really resonated for them, as well as some other things like cutting cap and trade, and so on and so forth. Now, they also mentioned cutting the salary, or at least deep-sixing Mayo Schmidt, the CEO of Hydro One, unless it costs too much. And conversely, what did not resonate were the big-picture policy things like pharmacare, healthcare, all-day daycare, and so on and so forth. So, Tom, I'll start with you, because to me, this was something, of course, upon which Andrea Horvath really had banked for carrying her over the top. Now, we get it, they had an unprecedented bump to the upside, but the parties, some hit and some missed on their messaging. Would you say that maybe there was a misreading of how the electorate were breaking this time?
Well, I have no idea what Navigator found or who they went to go talk to, but I can tell you that pharmacare in particular, anytime you ask about that in opinion polling, it ranks very, very, very high. Childcare, not quite as much, because the coverage is less. It's very targeted. And when you get into older people, they kind of maybe some feel, well, you know what, I paid for my own, and now, you know, you can see the logic there. But pharmacare is, one of those things where a lot of people are not covered through work, and people recognize the economics of it are very good. It would save our businesses hundreds of millions of dollars.
All right. Over to you, Anthony. I mean, this phenomenon of people caring about keeping their own money and a repudiation of the nanny state, it seems to me, you surprised by that?
Not at all, although I was kind of surprised by one Abacus data poll that came a few weeks ago, of course, in the middle of the election, that asked people, what would you prefer? Would you prefer cuts, or would you prefer more spending on big programs and so forth? And rarely do people will use, you know, words like, oh, I'm okay with efficiencies, thinking it doesn't somehow mean cuts, even though they are kind of synonyms. They said, yeah, we want the cuts over and above all. So we're at a real watershed moment right now, a turning point where people see all these stories about the credit downgrades, John, and the debt payments that we're making, the debt interest charges, $12 billion a year. And they're looking at this like they look at their family pocketbook issues, and they know that the family pocketbook has been getting a rough ride in recent years. And they go, I think there must be a connection going on here. Dare I say, yes, we would actually like to see some trimming going on. And sure, we broadly, and I get what Tom's saying, I get those numbers about the pharmacare, but at the same time, they go, if we're going to manage our personal wallets and we're going to get money back, we would rather do that than have more nanny state. That's exactly what this is right now. And I think this was the choice. We had a really stark choice. It wasn't Kathleen Wynne. It was between Andrew Horvath and Doug Ford. And it was, do you want more government, or do you want to take care of your own affairs? We see how people voted.
I'm not sure that's exactly how people saw it. That's a highly, I would suggest, ideological view of it. There was specific elements that were put out for people. There was Ford on the gas tax. Does it resonate well? Well, everybody would like to pay less for everything, and so less on gas would be good. He talked about cap and trade, which we're not quite sure what that means in specifics, but we know that that's is essentially a consumer tax, so we know about that. He talked about his income tax cut, which is not something that is favorable to middle-class people. It's more favorable to the affluent. On the other side of the ledger were things like dental benefits, pharmacare coverage, and again, these are real savings for people. You would have to yourself reflect on how much you pay personally to go to the dentist if you don't have coverage through work, or if you're a business, how much you pay as a business so your employees can have pharmacare coverage. You know, so these are real costs and they are real savings. They're just different ways of going about, because as I've often argued here on your show,
One of the problems was this became conceptual, according to Mike Van Solen with Navigator, and the people that they had canvassed of the focus groups represented all demographics. So he said it was working class, right on through to the upper class. And so he said, or they found most voters they spoke to could not identify what hallway medicine means. They couldn't as well. Few had heard of pharmacare. Few had heard, and I'm saying then something got lost in messaging.
I don't know. I mean, I've been on shows many times with Mike where he's there as the conservative analyst and I'm there as the New Democrat. I find that surprising. I do find that surprising. The issues, though, what I wouldn't find surprising is the idea that the gas tax idea resonated, because it's just so visceral. It's so immediate. To think about what that means, of course, the counter argument came from Andrew Horvath that, well, this means cuts to municipalities because that's supposed to be for roads and transit. That's a longer argument. That takes more time for people to process, if you get there at all, if you even get past the headline.
Okay, here's one. The $6 million man, the CEO of Hydro One, everybody that they canvassed pretty much in agreement. Doug Ford was right to say he'd send him packing and the rest of the board, except if it came at a significant cost. So again, the $10.7 million. Anthony, do you think Doug Ford's got to fulfill this promise, his campaign pledge, even if it means $10.7 million in a golden parachute?
Well, I think people will be outraged if they see that, because that's just the Wall Street financial crash stuff all over again, but consecrated in government. So I can't blame people for saying that. And if Doug says, well, we looked at these court documents, these numbers that we have, and we find we're going to have to give this guy some sort of $20 million severance, the problem is, how do you have a relationship with him? It's a pretty tainted relationship at that point, after everything that he said about him. Maybe there are ways that if you've got to pay him a severance, you can find a way to do it differently, or you can reduce it and bring in legislation towards it and say to him, well, you know, go to court if you really want to go and get this money. Go to court, and we're going to fight you over this. But it is very frustrating that a lot of these arm's length agencies, boards, and commissions are paying people untenable salaries that are not things that are actually comparable in the private sector. That's what they said about.
But this is
Mayo
a private
Schmidt.
Sector Hold company. On. That's why it's so problematic.
But the problem is, it is not comparable to the private sector. They were trying to say you got people in other jurisdictions who are getting paid less.
Okay, but it is a private sector company. That's exactly how this whole thing came about.
Because the major shareholder is the province.
The major, but not the majority. It's about 40-something percent right now.
Carl Icahn fires people with 2% ownership. So I've never bought the argument that because Doug Ford doesn't have a majority ownership, he can't go out and get what needs to be done.
47%. He's got majority voting shares, though.
Yeah, no, I think they got about 47%, but I think, and this was an issue during the campaign.
They control the voting shares.
There were some other blocks that were interested in not allowing the new package for Mayo Schmidt. So between what the Liberals held in their pocket at 47% plus a little bit more, they could get past the 50% mark on the board. Anyway, the overarching issue was when Hydro One was a public asset, the CEO was making $500,000 or something like that, and we thought that was outrageous. And now it's this. And so, you know, this is the way these things go.
Had the Sunshine List anyway. OPG.
It's not on the Sunshine List, John, because it's a private company. We privatized it.
I know now it is, but when it was.
And that's why the guy gets paid $6 million a year.
Well, when it was on the. But look, my question. The original question is, does Doug Ford fulfill the campaign pledge? And
we'll see. I mean, I can. Like, if I was Mayo Schmidt, and I wouldn't want to be, but I wouldn't be. Do you call it constructive dismissal at this time? Do you, and then, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Well, he's got the $10.7 million guaranteed severance.
I don't want to dismiss the person, but, you know, he could.
Is that
be,
too cost prohibitive? So it would resonate against Doug. It would look like, okay, he's fulfilling the pledge, but then the voters would go, that's too much money.
If you get him out now and then you phase in a new guy at much lower, then you do have the cost savings, but you got to do it now. You can't stretch it over a couple of years.
But that kind of assumes he at least semi-willingly goes. If you got to have, you know, government lawyers go after him, and then you start cracking up that bill.
Or you cut the check and say sayonara.
Right.
There are other things that he's got to fulfill. This is Doug Ford, as campaign promises, for better or worse. We'll find out in a moment. We'll come back. More topics worthy of discussion. Tom Park and Anthony Fury on The Oakley Show, Global News Radio, 640 Toronto.
Voters, when we talked to them, we found that they really became focused on their own sort of personal situation. They became focused on the pocketbook. And what didn't work for them anymore, and what they didn't buy in the election, was what the Liberals and the NDP had on offer. They were really cynical of the big government programs, PharmaCare, free childcare. They, I think it's the old, I'll take the bird in hand versus two in the bush.